Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. It is good to be with you today as we study God's Word together. God, through His Word, has shown us more of Himself, and it is good for us to apply ourselves and learn from this incredible book. Some passages take time and lots of work to understand, while other passages are easily explained and understood. Through all Scripture, our goal is loving Jesus and becoming like Him. And as we study Colossians 3, this is our desire, that we would see Jesus and pattern our lives after Him. Let's look at verses 15 and 17 and see how Jesus teaches us to live life to the fullest. There are many opinions about how this could be done, and with all the voices out there, it is easy to be confused. However, today, let's lay aside all those other voices and listen to our Creator. This teaching is divided into two parts. Now, let's go with J. Mark to Colossians 3 for the first part of this teaching.
The Dalai Lama is the leader of Tibetan Buddhism, and he said this, "The purpose of our life is to be happy." So he thinks living life to the fullest means being happy. And I guess most of the people in the world would probably agree with him. In fact, maybe you would. After all, who wants an unhappy life, right? And then Indian actor Shah Rukh Khan said, "Live life to the fullest. Tomorrow may never be." Well, that's true, but it doesn't tell us what living life to the fullest means. And then Matt Cameron wrote, "Live life to the fullest and focus on the positive." In his mind, part of living a full life is paying attention to the positive experiences that we have. That's important too. Most of us don't like to be around those who are constantly negative. You know, these quotes contain some truth, but they're not the whole truth. So how do we live life to the fullest? I submit that we can't really answer that question until we first ask another question. What is the meaning and purpose of life? If you and I don't know why we're here or what we're supposed to do, then how can we live life to the fullest? Nearly 400 years ago, there was a group of Puritan preachers and elders that got together to produce a document. It was called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And that catechism is laid out in a series of 107 questions and answers. This catechism has been used throughout the English-speaking world ever since then to teach the fundamental doctrines of the faith. And the very first question of the catechism addresses this issue of why you and I exist. It asks, "What is the chief end of man?" Today we might ask it this way, "Why are we here and what is the purpose of life?" The catechism answers, "Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever." I believe it is only as you and I embrace and understand this truth that we will learn to live life to the fullest. And so that's the title for our study today, Live Life to the Fullest. And our text is Colossians chapter 3 and verses 15 to 17. Listen to these words from our Lord through the Apostle Paul. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." This text provides several imperatives that if we obey them, they will enable us to live life to the fullest. I remind you again that the theme of this letter to the Colossians is the preeminence of Christ. That is, He is first in rank, dignity, and importance. He is supreme over all. And that reality impacts all of life. So keep that in mind as we explore these imperatives. The first imperative that will enable us to live life to the fullest is, "Let the peace of Christ officiate." The actual wording in this first verse is, "Let rule the peace of Christ." And this is the only instance of this word in the Greek New Testament. The word is brabuo, and it means to arbitrate, to prevail, to be the umpire. A brabuus, in Paul's day, was an Olympic official, the one who judged winners and losers. Today we'd call him a referee or an umpire. He's the one officiating the game. He knows the rules, and he enforces them. And as you know, the umpire or the referee has the final say. If he says, you're out, then you're out. Oh, you can disagree with him. In fact, you might even argue with him. But if you get too vehement, you may get tossed out of the game. Now, in the context of these verses, what is the umpire? It's the peace of Christ, the peace that he gives to us as his children. You might recall that in John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So this peace that Jesus gives is not dependent on circumstances, because Jesus made these statements just hours before going to the cross. That same peace that he had and he was promising to the 12 is available to you and me. It's a supernatural peace that, according to Philippians 4:8, will keep or guard our hearts and minds in him. You know, the lack of peace is pictured in Isaiah chapter 57. The prophet wrote, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And before we came to know Christ, we were alienated from him. We opposed him. In a sense, we were at war with him. We had no peace and no rest. But when we accepted the sacrifice of Jesus as the only payment for our sin, then we were set at one with Christ. We were reconciled. And that brings peace. Not only peace between us and God, but peace between us and our fellow human beings. And then there's another application of this imperative to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. When you need to choose between several options, and none of them are wrong, how do you decide which is the right one? In a situation like I just described, I rely on the peace that God brings to my spirit. If that peace is missing, it indicates that I need to reevaluate my decision, my choice. I want the peace of God to be the umpire in my heart. Now, notice with me how this instruction to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts follows the change of character that's commanded in the earlier verses. When we put on Christ, our lives will be stabilized by peace. And I say stabilized because peace smooths out the rough spots in life. I can't think of a better example of this than my wife Joyce and her cancer journey. The peace that she has through Jesus has enabled her to bless and encourage so many people. In fact, some time ago, she received a card from a friend who had noticed her in a large public gathering but didn't have the opportunity to speak to her. The friend's note said that when she saw my wife's peaceful countenance and her joyful interactions with others, it was like hearing a sermon from the Lord. So my wife's peaceful expression moved this woman. And you know, that's not natural peace, that's supernatural. That peace enables her to make decisions without fear and then to rest in the outcome because Christ is in control. She is truly allowing the peace of Christ to rule in her heart. And Paul says, it is to this kind of peace that we, Christ followers, have been called. Notice too that the context or the setting for the exercise of this peace is in the body of Christ, the church. When the peace of Christ is ruling in our hearts, then our decision-making processes will result in peace between us and God and peace between us and those around us. And Hebrews 12:14 provides another reminder of the importance of letting peace reign in our hearts. It says, follow peace with everyone and holiness, for without these, no one will see the Lord. And then there's a second imperative at the end of the verse. I chose not to use it as one of the main points in this teaching, but that doesn't mean it's not essential. I've included it here under the imperative of letting peace officiate. And so Paul tells us that while we're letting the peace of God rule in our hearts and we're living out this peace relationally with other people, we should be thankful. Thankfulness is a vital part of being a follower of Jesus and a vital part of our peace. Because when there's tension between you and your spouse or you and your children or you and a fellow employee, are you thankful for that? Generally, I'm not. But when there are peaceful, harmonious relationships, that's something to rejoice in. It's something to be grateful for. Peace reduces or eliminates unnecessary tension, and that tension is a primary cause of our stress. You know, there's a lot of turmoil in our world today. Lots of people are worried about the future. There's wars and violence that are happening all over the world. The persecution of Christ followers is increasing. Maybe you're experiencing that. We have fires and floods and earthquakes and more all result in tremendous property damage and the loss of human life. And yet, you know, despite all this, we can be thankful for the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. If we hope to live life to the fullest, we will need to let the peace of Christ govern our lives. The next imperative that enables us to live life to the fullest is, let the word of Christ educate. Here the wording is, let dwell the word of Christ. The words let dwell imply a relationship. The picture is, allow the word of Christ to make its home in you. And the verb tense clearly indicates that this is a continuous action, it's a process. What does it look like to have the word of Christ at home in you? Well, first of all, what's your concept of home? Home is generally seen as a place of safety. It's a place to rest, a place that separates us from the cares of work, and it also separates us from the constant gaze of the public. It's a place to spend time with the people we love, to grow in our appreciation for who they are, and to learn about the things that concern them. It's a place, ideally speaking, where we can be genuine, transparent, and vulnerable. Now take that picture of home and apply those scenes to this imperative of letting the Word of God dwell or make its home in your heart. If the Word of Christ is going to live in you, you're going to need to spend time reading and meditating on it. You'll need to shut out distractions and the cares of this life and concentrate on what God is saying to you through His Word. And as you do that, you'll learn what is on God's heart. You'll learn what's important to Him and what He wants you to embrace as important. His Word will likely expose some aspects of your life that need to change. If we're going to let the Word of Christ dwell in us, we must know what this Word is. Remember, Paul is exalting Christ in this epistle. Now, there are two possible ways to understand this phrase, and both of them, I believe, are valid. One interpretation is that Paul is referring to the Word delivered by Christ. We might say that's the all things that Jesus commanded us to teach in Matthew 28:19-20. The other interpretation is that Paul is referring to the Word about Christ, something we might call the doctrine of Christ, the truth about His person, His position, His ministry, and so on. And I think both of these interpretations are educative. That is, they expand our knowledge of who Jesus is and our practice of His teachings. And both of them are very much needed today.
Thanks for sharing these first two imperatives for living life to the fullest. I like how J. Mark said that before we can live life to the fullest, we have to answer the question of purpose. Why are we here? Yes, this is a huge question, but without this answer, our lives will be aimless. If you have any questions about today's teaching, or if you want to contact us for any reason, here are a few ways you can reach us. The best way is email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you can message us online. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. Once there, click on the Contact Us, which is on the top right. We would love to hear from you, so please contact us however it is easiest for you. Thanks again for being with us today. Please join us next time as we finish the last part of Living Life to the Fullest. Think about these words from Psalm 16 and what the purpose of your life is. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Life, joy, and pleasures? Who doesn't want more of these?